Don't engage alone. We do this together.
Somebody clip this one.
Welcome to Under Two Capes. I am Jared, and we got the full four boys together. What is going on, gentlemen? We got Jay Heat. What's up, brother?
Flame on. How's everybody doing tonight?
We got Taladia Plays with his new mic. What is up, brother?
What's up, everybody? Hopefully you guys can hear me well.
Yeah. And then we've got the old man who's the biggest fan of the Wheel of Time show, Nick from the Phoenix Press. What's up, brother?
Fluff off.
Yeah. So, speaking of shows, so what we're talking about today, so we're all big DC fans, obviously. And the thing about
not me, DC sucks. Well,
I may have to reevaluate your position in Comics League, but more on that later. So, there's this thing called The Boys, and here's the thing. So the show started off good, and that's what I want to start off with. The show started off great for two seasons. It's been good. That's a lot of superhero shows. Have you noticed that a lot of superhero shows are good for two seasons and then except for
Superman, it's even worse than that. Like a lot of streaming services, especially the shows that are aired weekly, like the first batch of episodes, whether it's like a lot of Disney Plus episodes, the first episode or the first three episodes are good, but it's episode four, after all the reviews are already out, that's when they bring in all the stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to talk to The Boys about, pun intended, where The Boys went wrong, because I think first, because here's the thing, what The Boys did well is it was definitely a satire on like superheroes. It basically plays superheroes as the celebrities. Then you also had the obvious parallel to the Walt Disney Corporation. So that was hilarious.
Release the boar cut.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And where I think it went wrong first is that the show was very even-handed in terms of its political bashing. It was. That's why I said was. It was. The problem is that it started to get more and more like one-sided.
I would agree with you, but I'd also like to add. So The Boys has always kind of traded on shock value. That dates back to the original comic. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. The problem is The Boys have more been leaning on shock value as a way to drive engagement or whatnot. Like, for example, I would say the moment that really broke me was Herogasm, or at least the attempt at it.
Yeah. You know,
going into season three, they were hyping it up. Like, the first thing we heard about season three is like, we're doing Herogasm, guys! And like, you'd hear, it was so traumatizing. We ran out of fake male body fluids. And then you go and watch the actual episode. It's not even the focus of the episode. It's maybe in the last third. It's barely there. And it is such a wet blanket, which
admittedly
using it in this context is so weird.
Admittedly, this is a very dark scene and the very fact they even attempted it. So
but here's the problem with it. It doesn't live up to the hype, to Nick's point, because it's like, even Jansen Ackles posted on Twitter, he was like, oh man, I need to bleach my brain after that. And I'm like, oh, you wuss.
Mm-hmm.
You are. And to Nick's point, it's just the thing about it. See, here's the thing. I think if they had done Herogasm earlier, would have had more of a shock value, because here's the other problem with The Boys. As the show went on, that shock value that Nick said that's like essential to the show's effect, it started to wear off because we started.
I mean, having Love Sausage appear in season two had more of a shock value than the orgasm.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like at that point, it was like, okay, fine. It's the boys. I get it. And it's the same thing when you watch like Gen V, because yeah, they do the whole shock value thing again, but it's just millennial shock value. That's what.
Yeah, like for example, like, oh, she can bend blood. She bends her own period blood.
Oh
like,
my God. Oh, she's blood bending, yeah. Nick.
Stop.
See,
trust me.
See,
it's stupid.
It's gone from shock value to just cringe. Like they're trying so hard for the shock value. It's just kind of pathetic. Like, oh dear God. Okay.
Even Rick and Morty had more tact than this. And that is saying a lot.
That says a lot.
And here's the thing.
Remember, Rick and Morty is the one with the incest baby. Like, if that is more tactful than anything the boys.
Holy
says.
Bruce, you know, Tim, Batman.
I'm just gonna say that is the most appropriate use of the Bruce Tim. Also, I
could not. That was low hanging fruit, bro.
I can't wait for tomorrow. By the way.
Yes, yes. So the other thing I want to bring up is because there's another show that we can compare this to that's doing the same thing as The Boys, but does it infinitesimally, yes, that is the word, better. It's called Invincible. Because they both are, for the most part, in some ways, a parody of the superhero world, particularly the DC world. It's just, here's the thing, and like Nick and I said on the Invincible episode, Invincible does it from a point of reverence. The Boys is done because Garth Ennis openly hates superheroes.
And the thing is, watching Invincible or even reading the Invincible comic, you can tell Robert Kirkman loves superheroes. You can tell Robert Kirkman loves the stuff that, like I would classify it as loving satire. You know, it's like a send-up of all this stuff. Yes, it does definitely falls into the parody and satire. But it's just the emotions it comes from. It's a lot more. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this about The Boys' original comic. Granted, it was edgy mm-hmm. satire, and a lot of the late 90s, early 2000s was very edgy. I grew up during that time. I will openly admit mm-hmm. that. But once the joke wears thin, or everyone starts getting the joke, at least the show's version has nothing really more to cling to. Like you said, you literally had a spinoff show, Generation V, where the protagonist uses her monthly blood.
Thank you.
That
Thank you.
Alone is a last straw for a lot of people. That's cringe.
And to contrast it with the Invincibles, is once you get past the satire, you still have characters you care about. You still have storylines you care about, you know? Like, I'm just going to say this. I am very invested in Adam Eve and Invincible. I'm very invested in that storyline, you know? I like the whole
ship, my friend. That's a solid ship.
I think Mark Grayson is a great character, you know, Omni-Man. He's got that kind of, like, I want to see him be redeemed.
You could say, and this is for you, Tevye, because I know you're watching, Invincible is a better Superboy than John Kent.
Oh, just wait till Oliver comes to age. Tevye is going to be all over him.
Yeah.
But I will say this. Even if you didn't factor the satire, Invincible's just handled with a lot more tact. Now, granted, I am not a fan of the reboot art. I think that was stupid. I am not a fan of the reboot art, personally. If you don't know what I'm talking about,
I know what you're talking about, Jay Heat.
Mm. I get it. You're supposed to tell this. You're supposed to parallel Spider-Man. You're supposed to parallel Spider-Man with great power comes great responsibility. And it just didn't land for me. Like, I get the theme here. I get what you're going for. But who goes to a parallel Earth and neglects their kid for 5 years? That's something, if you're going to tell that type of story, that type of arc, that's something Mark should have gone through way earlier on.
Superman under Bendis kind of did the opposite. He sent his kid away to stay with his homicidal father.
Oh, please. All Bendis did was rip off the Chris Kent storyline pre-Flashpoint and called it a day.
I had to. So Taladia, you've been quiet the whole time. Yeah. So what do you think of the boys?
I mean, the boys is a rated R version of Justice League, so to say. Mm-hmm. And I think that the boys is interesting the way they handle it. Mm-hmm. And I really think that I can't put my finger on it, but yeah, normal people getting superpowers is kind of overkill.
Yeah. And see, again, even with that, it's like they see, here's the problem. And here's the difference with Invincible. And I was watching a YouTube video, and what the creator said was that the problem with the boys is that every person with powers is treated like a moron. Like, so in the comics, do you know what that version of Charles Xavier does?
What?
Let's just say he would be a fan of the Netflix movie Cuties.
That's and see, the problem with the boys is... And so I've only seen the show, is the one character who genuinely wants to help Starlight, she's treated like an idiot, not only by the show, but in-universe. Like, oh, you actually want to help people? What are you, an idiot?
Yeah, you're so naive and stuff. She's treated, and to a degree, I get what they're going for, because they're treating superheroes like social media celebrities, and that's actually really cool. It's just they take it. I think the problem with the boys is that it takes all these plot lines way too far.
They overplay their hand. They're a bit of a one-trick pony. Like the whole social media as celebrities. But sure, that's an interesting idea. But it's a one-trick pony idea, and they never really go beyond that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, and again, it's like consuming any version of boys media, it's very obvious, going off of what you said, Nick, about like Kirkman loving superheroes. You can plainly see where, because I believe from what I remember, the only superheroes Garth Ennis likes are Superman, Wonder Woman, and I think Batman, and maybe the Punisher and Spider-Man. So you clearly see that whenever those characters are always treated with reverence, and everyone else is like cannon fodder. Hell, his most famous Punisher story is when Punisher kills all the superheroes.
Like, I will say, like, the whole, like, Homelander being bred in a lab, you know, bred to be, like, this big superhero, never really experiencing true maternal warmth, and like, that's the reason for his messed up psychology. Okay! Like, that's kind of interesting, but they never really go into that. It's just like, oh yeah, this is his tragic backstory, please care about him. But they just use that as an excuse for his behavior, not as a catalyst for storytelling.
Yeah, and that's the problem. It's they're not doing enough of the showing and telling, because yeah, to your point, I mean, it's like the other thing about it is that I get that's the point. It's just I think they go a little too, because here's the thing, and Homelander is part of the problem with the later seasons. They went too far, and I'm going to try and keep this as politically neutral as possible. They went too far of making Homelander resemble a certain U.S. political figure.
Yeah.
Which, that's fine. And it's just, you have to, it's just, again, back in the early seasons, they were more even-handed with it.
Like, I know we keep bringing up Invincible, but it's just the perfect analogy.
It is.
Like the contrast with how they handle Langstrom this season, who is a piece of work. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But they did more than enough to show that, like, while Langstrom is a piece of work, his feelings are kind of justified. Like, you know, we're wanting to kill Mark because Mark is evil in so many other universes. Like, he's evil and he needs to get taken down. He's a bastard. But you understand why he is. Like, you don't, like, you understand exactly why he is this way. And it has, like, and it's like that perfect kind of, like, mental exercise of, if I went through what he did, would I think exactly the same way? And most people, the answer to that is yes.
It kind of reminds me of Azula from Atla in a way. You can tell that they're an antagonist, excuse me, but there's no room for redemption with that type of character. I don't know why people why people want to redeem Azula. Like, I get she's misguided.
Everyone wants, just like with girls wanting to cure the bad boy, men want to cure the crazy girl. It is not a problem one gender. We're both at fault.
Yeah. And it's like to that point, I believe like in the comics they showed Langstrom, and I think like his family was killed by like Evil Invincible, so you understand why he has a personal vendetta, and you even feel for him. Whereas opposed to when you learn about Homelander's background, yeah, you do kind of feel bad for him in a certain degree. But at that point, too much has happened where you're like, this dude's just a turd.
He literally looks like one. Kind of reminds me of Amber Heard.
So you could say he's a turd in the wind.
We are venom. But anyway,
I'm sorry. That's like my favorite line from the movie. So
I love that. Me too. It's and again, that's where the issue comes with, because again, like Jay Heath said at the beginning of this episode, yeah, edgy humor is fine. Because that's to a degree, I'm sure that's partly why this universe was so popular back in the day, and the show is kind of popular. It's just
like South Park is famous to this day. Like, seriously, South Park, say what you will about the commentary, but South Park has a pretty good balance for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the most part.
South Park is probably the one show. Like, so many shows try to, like, hide behind the "we make fun of everyone" card, but they really don't. No, yeah. South Park is equal opportunity. They'll make fun of everybody.
I mean, they did a whole episode where they targeted Kathleen Kennedy.
They went a little short shy on Bob Iger. They probably could have thrown a few pot shots at him, but other than that,
put a chicken in her, make her lame and gay.
Yeah, exactly. See, and again, going back, because I laughed out loud when I saw the theme park was called Maeve's Inclusive Kingdom. And to a degree, here's the thing about Maeve, what's kind of cool about that. That kind of reflected how like the modern media handles characters being made LGBT, because as soon as like Homelander outed her, that was her entire identity in terms of the media. So I was like, okay, that's actually really cool. And see, it started off like that. And then you had the where they're on the set of Dawn of the Seven, and then Homelander goes, "These Joss rewrites really bring the movie together."
Why did you say that name?
Yeah, I know. I can't because I'm monetized now. 1,000 subs. But and then I love.
We have to keep ourselves to some standards.
Yeah. I love where at the premiere they're like, I gotta thank all the fans, # release the Bork cut. And even Zach got involved in that joke on social media. So because he knows what they're doing. So and again, that's where it started. But then you see, here's the thing: political humor is fine. You can make fun of a political side. You just have to do it equally to the other side, like you used to. Literally, it's not like they never did this. That's the sad part. It's not like they
started
were never
attacking one
handed.
Side. Like the problem I had is, as you go on, they like a lot of the jabs at the left kind of started to simmer down. A lot of the more the right leaning ones got really egregious. The one that I really didn't like is that one opening where it's like, this is how people get radicalized by right leaning media.
Mm.
You know, where like the guys listen. Where the guy was like, what was like cycle, and it's like eventually shot his, you know, the clerk.
Oh,
owner.
Yeah. I was, that was the example I was thinking of with Stormfront.
That was really, that was really stupid. That was so stupid.
Yeah. I'm like, first off, both sides do this, so you don't have to like point the finger. If you had said that, here's the way you could fix that scene to make it work. Say, this is what happens when someone is radicalized by the media. All you got to do is take out the right wing part, and guess what? You're fine. That line still works.
No. The problem is they had an entire sequence where it was obvious what they're doing. Where mm-hmm. the guy is listening to a podcast that is clearly a parody of Alex Jones. Like, the way the guy's talking and whatnot is clearly meant to be Alex Jones and whatnot. They're not very subtle with trying to hide the stuff. And so that's just, it just makes me mad.
And then again, I'm sorry, go ahead, Jaheed.
This is the only thing I'm going to say before. I'm sorry for cut you off. This is the only thing I'm going to say. Fine. I feel like it boils down, at least from the past 10 years or so, either poor storytelling or poor media literacy, where everything is either surface level or where the plot overrides everything that goes on with the characters. Like, the characters revolve more around the plot rather than the plot. Okay, we have an established property. These characters act a certain way. How do we incorporate the plot with that intact? There's always a nuance to these type of things, whether it's a superhero genre, horror, noir. There's always a balance, or at the very least, nuance. And I just don't see that balance anymore. I think it's just surface level, poles bar, and it just boils down to either a new generation coming up, or a current, or just those that be currently in charge that are just incompetent or poor management. At least that's how I'm seeing it.
All the above, Jaheed. It's all the above.
Yeah, agreed.
None of that is mutually exclusive, my friend. None of that is mutually exclusive. So, yeah. Now, let me ask you guys this. I mean, is it too late for them to, like, let's say somehow they watched Under Two Capes and decided that handsome dude with 1,000 subscribers, thank you, by the way, actually makes a lot of good points. So how do we,
here's how Jeff Bezos fixes the boys. He cancels the show, burns down all the sets, and then gives the money for the boys and gives it to Invincible. So they don't have to split a season.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that works.
But and by burn it down, I mean Jeff Bezos literally comes down to the set with like a box full of already lit Molotov cocktails and just starts chucking them.
All I'm going to say is this is the same company that released Rings of Power. Let that sink in.
Yeah. As soon as you hear
it's also the same company that released another fantasy.
Oh, you mean Wheel of Time? Those that don't know, Nick and I recorded a video where we watched the first episode of Wheel of Time. Mind you, he hadn't watched the whole episode yet, so you could see the descent into madness because Nick knows the lore. And you can clearly see the writers didn't.
And if you watch the Patreon exclusive, I go into like autistic detail about it, like autistic detail.
Yeah, he knows about as much about Wheel of Time as I do Halo in DC.
Still better than Velma season 2, at least from what I've seen on social media.
No hate watching.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just seeing people.
And don't
post.
Clap on my show, Jay Heat. I didn't want to get demonetized just by saying Velma.
Yes, because saying that is akin to something speech.
Okay, how about Mini Killing Vanity Project?
Okay, that's fine. So, right. So it's Taladia, let me ask you this. If you were in charge of fixing the boys and arson was not an option to fix the boys, how would you fix the boys?
Denied.
The one thing I would change is making it less of like the normal people getting superpowers.
Mm-hmm. True.
And more focus on the heroes who claim to be heroes and their story arc.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. The people, here's the interesting thing about it, by the way. In the Boys comic, all of the boys get superpowers. It's not just Huey and Butcher. Everyone gets powers from like the very beginning of the story. I see why they changed that in the show, and it's way better that way. But I mean, now let me ask Jay Heath this. And again, arson is not an option. How would you fix Jay, the boys?
Cut down some of the parody, actually tell an overarching story or a storyline. Like, I get it. A lot of the original comic had a lot of edginess, but at least there was a story to it about revenge, Butcher versus Homelander, government conspiracy. There was an actual story to be told, but you're kind of dragging it out at this point. Now, I get it. The boys made you a lot of money. It actually helped get Prime Video off the map. I understand it. But you're kind of dragging out the story at this point, especially with the relative decline from the Gen Z spinoff. So speed the story along, cut back on some of the jokes, and just be streamlined.
Yeah, I feel totally. Like that's... Now, Nick, arson is not an option. How do you fix Wheel of Time?
Arson.
wait, Nick, I got to ask you this. Which is worse? What you saw in the Wheel of Time show or Willow?
I never saw Willow. I mean, that's why I can like string sentences coherently, so I don't know.
Well, Nick, here's how you know it's bad. It's so bad that Disney took it off their streaming service.
They David Zaslav'd it.
Exclusively. They Zaslav'd it, exactly. They released it, it got destroyed, and they took it off. And so yeah, that's kind of what I would do. Well, you could also hire people that have actually read the books. There's also that.
That would help.
I'm sure that would help. It's not like fans actually make good stuff. It's not like we have a show called X-Men 97, which was awesome, by the way. But I don't know. It's weird. So
crazy.
So before we conclude, because we've only been going for 25 minutes, I kind of want to transition here. And let me ask you this, and I'll start with Nick. How do you make a good parody of superhero movies?
You mean besides arson? I'm sorry. Arson. You turned that into a running joke. I'm sorry.
Besides arson.
All right. Well, besides arson, what you need is you need some fire in your heart.
Okay? I was about to say, if you say fire in a lighter, I'm going to be really pissed right now.
You need a burning passion for I'm running with this. You need a burning passion. For the books, you need like a scorching.
Nick's internet connection burnt out.
Oh my god, I love you.
I love you too. Continue on.
You need a scorching desire to make this right. You know, like you don't let the haters quench your need to do this.
Oh my gosh.
In other words, arson.
In other words,
Jay Heat, legitimately, how do you make a superhero parody?
Is Blank Man an option?
No! No! Okay, screw it. I'm risking it. Why did you say that name?
Well, Jared, you won't get copyright claim for that. So you're fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we're gonna have to edit that. We're gonna have to edit that out.
No, we're not. No, that's staying in, brother. Why?
It was worth it.
Dweeb.
You want to know how you
die, clown?
You want to know what the best superhero parody movie ever is?
Twilight?
The original cut of Justice League.
Get him out.
I said it was a superhero parody movie! You can tell Jared's been holding back on the clips. He's trying to make up for lost time now.
What?
You serious?
I think we broke Jared. Yeah. I think we've broken out. I think Blank Man broke Jared.
What is this?
How can they learn?
I'm so scarred from that travesty of a movie.
Jared, you are welcome, sir.
Hey, it's not
that movie made me want to throw my computer monitor across the room.
Well, I know what I'm getting you for your birthday. I'm getting you a Blu-ray. Like, is that movie even on Blu-ray?
I don't think so.
Probably on DVD at least.
For reaching 1,000 subscribers, you know what these guys do? Instead of like being like kind, supportive, they tell me, "Oh, Jared, you're reading the Batcest issue of Batman Beyond."
Blank Man is on DVD. Jared, I'm going to get you Blank Man for your birthday one year.
No, I will return it.
Na, 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 na,
Right. Okay, so Jake is no longer here.
I guess the
what were you saying, Taladia?
I guess that heat went off, and he's gone to watch Velma. That's why.
You could say the fire was...
Yeah.
Wait, so you could say the fire does not rise.
Somehow, J-Heat returned.
Indeed. You need to be snuffed out. There you go.
Like, I mean, the cringe continues.
Remember, guys, J-Heat didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world was turning.
Raging Inferno.
Phoenix press started the fire.
God,
we're I mean, yeah,
that would be the song that's blaring on the speakers as you burn down the Wheel of Time set.
I'll use some of my Phoenix fire.
Quick disclaimer: we are not condoning.
No, we're actually joking. That this is a joke. Here's Nick as soon as he walks into the Amazon studio.
I am Phoenix.
In Minecraft.
Wait, there's a Minecraft movie?
Actually, yes, there is.
They're making it.
I thought that was a fever dream.
No, they're making it.
Yeah, and Jack Black is starring it. I think someone like the set trees have leaked, and they look pretty good.
Huh. By the way, Kung Fu Panda 4 sucked.
Well, yeah.
Apparently, the reason why they didn't have the Fearsome Five come in is the producers wanted them, but they said, dude, just getting Angelina Jolie in the booth would cost us $20 million.
Okay, that's actually really true. But so all in all, the thing about the boys is that, see, it's another example of something that has great potential, but ended up squandering that potential in honor of making a political statement. It's another one of those shows that just starts off good and just falls apart. You could say we found out its past sins and we just went through one more day with it. I had to bring that up.
You could say sins past.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Check Comics League chat.
Oh yeah, yeah. They... I'll share this. Yeah,
not gonna lie, the fact that they even remotely pulled this off is impressive.
Yeah, like wow. I'm gonna pull it up on the screen right now.
Like what's weird is that looks like it could exist in real life.
Yeah, I know. Makes me think, are they going to actually have the people like blocked or how are they going to do that?
I'm sure Jack Black is going to make another banger of a song. Peaches, 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 peaches.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, didn't they do a World of Warcraft adaptation a few years back?
They did. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. I say that as a Warcraft fan.
Yeah, it's not the best movie, but let me put it this way. In the time of video game adaptations, there are much worse. There's
also movie. The VFX still look amazing. Like especially the VFX of these works.
It looks amazing
to this day.
It looks like it was made now by Zack Snyder. And that's my obligatory Zack Snyder reference.
But, and that came out, like, what, 2014, 2015?
Yeah, and it looks incredible. And
even by today's
standards. The animation's good, so I'm like, okay, you know what? Well done. Because I have to applaud that, because too many movies look like crap. Like, The Flash is not going to age well.
It was already dated the moment it came out.
Yeah. It was dated. It was a second dated, exactly. So I think... To really conclude, there's one more parody of the DC universe that was arguably worse than The Boys.
Harley Quinn?
Injustice.
I wouldn't really call that a parody. I call that edgy metal Mortal Kombat. I'm going to censor myself to market to Mortal Kombat fans.
No, but if you look at the story, it's pretty much the Justice League turn into the Seven and start messing with people. And arguably caused irreparable character damage to a lot of these characters, particularly Superman and Wonder Woman, because Tom Taylor is edgy.
Well, let's see. Superman has a one bad day and is coerced by, and Wonder Woman is turned into Lady Macbeth. There are worse adaptations.
In a world where Wonder Woman gets disrespected like every time a comic comes out, yeah, it's not that good.
let's see, Wonder Bat, DCAU, Kingdom Come to a degree.
Yeah, it's because Bruce Tim, because, and the thing about it, I think the problem, I know we're talking about the DCAU now in a boys episode, but I guess we're kind of done. The problem with the DCAU, when you get to Justice League, let me be clear, is I think Bruce Timm forgot they were writing other characters other than Batman, because Batman gets the most attention to a certain degree, rightly so, because of BTS and everything like that. But the other Justice Leaguers are denigrated to hold Batman up, which they don't have to be denigrated. We already know Batman's awesome. We had an animated series about that. So that's really where you get the disrespectful portrayal of Wonder Woman, the severe weakening of Superman.
They openly admitted why he was nerfed in Justice League. And JLU, by the time Cadmus rolled around, they had already fixed that.
Did they? But the point is, it's like, that's DC according to a Batman fan. That's it. It's not DC according to an overall DC fan. Because if it were, Wonder Woman would not be essentially an 18-year-old seductress.
Yeah, no.
McDuffie confirmed that she is 18, so thank you, Dwayne. So makes so Batman's a two-time predator in this universe. I see. That's the way that works. Thank you. Thanks, Tim. You know what's kind of funny? When Nick and I discussed the pig episode of JLU, it's kind of funny. It's written by Paul Dini. And we made the joke like every time Bruce Timm talks about Wonder Bat, Paul Dini has to do an episode where he basically goes, "No, stop it, go away."
It's like with like that water, like the spray bottle of water.
Yeah, he's like, shh, shh, "Go away, Bruce."
To be fair, there wasn't even that often. You had obviously the Cersei episode. You had the King Arthur where the heroes get de-aged. And then you had a brief scene with the new gods. Other than that, the whole Wonder Bat aspect didn't really only happen like a couple of times.
The stupid part is that people actually think that because it was in the show, that means that Wonder Woman's always been with Batman in the comics. And I'm like, there is literally zero comic precedence for that. Yes, you have some panels like Blackest Night, which arguably is stupid because it made no sense. But there's no like grand comic tradition where with Super Wonder, yes, I'm going to be that dude. It goes all the way back to the Golden Age.
Yeah, but that was mostly banter, though. At the end of the day, there was always Lois Lane across the horizon. I regret nothing.
Get him out. Before I lose my cool.
Yeah, thank you. I love the way he said that before I lose my cool.
But hey, at least I didn't say the Council of Lois Lanes.
There's only one thing I have to say to Bruce Timm.
Batman doesn't do ships.
Not playing.
Oh, was that the clip, or was there another one coming through?
Yeah, there was. It's just playing for me.
Okay.
So there you go. So all in all, just watch Invincible at this point. Just watch. Actually, you know what? We can talk briefly about Gen Z because I may be the. How many of us have watched Gen V?
Right here.
I haven't.
All right. So Jay Heat, let me ask you this. Does Gen V, or does it not, repeat the exact same mistakes as the boys?
Yes.
Yeah, it's legit. And Nick, all Gen V is, it's the boys with younger people. That's all it is.
Again, one trick pony.
Millennial.
Yeah, and again, it's the same thing as like now we're that's why when I was watching the Gen V, because I watched the entire season, it was like, okay, fine. But again, it was like, okay, it wasn't like crazy good like the other one is. Because again, whenever anyone died or anything really messed up happened, I was watching, I was like, that's it? That's really it. That's what you're hyping up. It's the same thing with the hero gasm thing again. And you know what's kind of funny? To Nick's point, in that episode of The Boys, hero gasm shows up for it doesn't get as much screen time anyway. It's in the background. So I'm like, at this point, I'm done. It's like, I'll watch it for fun, but as far as me like actually enjoying the show, probably not. I mean, I don't know. But so we're going to wrap it up. So first off, I would like to further reiterate that this channel has reached 1,000 subscribers. So thank you very much. At the time, so this is going to be out on Friday. That means that tonight, at the time of release, is the 1,000 subscriber celebration, and we'll be hanging out. A few guests may show up. I'll be cycling in guests, like come in, say a few words, and then cycle out. Obviously, the four of us will be there. I'm not sure about Sammy or Britt, but I'll ask them.
Sammy said she'd try to make it. I hope she does.
Okay, cool. And if Britt's not in the panel, she'll be in the chat. She's all good. But as a little preview, I just want to thank everyone for liking and subscribing and watching the videos. I could not have gotten here without you guys, and I am profoundly grateful. So, old man, where can we find you and what have you got coming out on your channel?
All right. Oh, me. Okay.
I said, old man, that's who you are.
Whatever. all right. So later today, because of, you know, this comes out tomorrow, I will be doing the Friday Night Frenzy, where we'll be doing have on our monthly movie night. I'll be talking about Rotten and Tights. It'll be pretty awesome. Later on that day, I'm going to be literally blowing Jared's mind on CLD with the surprise I got for him. It's pretty awesome.
He's been hyping it up for a month now.
Literally everyone on this panel except Jared has seen it. So
that's so mean. But tomorrow I will see it. Tomorrow I'll finally see what Nick was hyping up. Jeez.
It'll be worth the hype. Trust me. And then on Saturday, I'm continuing my ventures in the Mojave. Be pretty cool. Monday got rewatch. And so yeah, everything's going to be pretty cool.
So Taladia, where can we find you and what you got coming out?
My channel, guys, you guys can find out that I will be doing Snyder Fans Read Comics, of course, with Jared next week. I also got a stream with Jay Heat coming up. And also, I've also got like the Summer Game Fest prediction video that I'm going to be posting. I'm going to be talking about Marvel and DC games. So I've got to make that up. I've got to work on that. And I also got to talk about the Wonder Woman game and if there's a possibility for that to be a Summer Game Fest. So
sweet. Jay Heat.
As for me, I'll have my What If Scion Was in the Dekamu video, my Damian Wayne retrospective video, because someone actually fan requested me for that. Of course, my Mass Effect Saturday. Stay tuned for Mass Effect 2 Part 6. As well as any more new... almost forgot. New God Killer Revelations. I collab with Jared on that, as well as Blazing Shona with Taladia and Anime Blaze for Fire Force Season 2, which was delayed. But we are working on that.
Sweet. So, on that note, everyone, stay heroic. Remember, Lois Lane is Lois Lane. She belongs with General Zod. And a Zois and Maxibat for life. See you later.